You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
By the way, it's time now for the tournament update, which is brought to you by Schweppes. Who doesn't enjoy a good old Schweppes? Caitlin Clark dropped 32-8. Number one seeded Iowa, top number eight West Virginia, 64-54. Paige Beckers scored 32 points to go with 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals to lift number 3 UConn over number 6 Syracuse, 72-64. With the win, UConn extends its NCAA tournament record streak of consecutive Sweet 16 appearances to 30. 30?
It's amazing.
30!
It's amazing.
Good for Gino. He's doing good with that program. I think he's got a future. That was the tournament update presented by Schweppes. Schweppes offers above-the-rim refreshment and is proud to sponsor the Big East Conference. Enjoy the madness and take a break from the hoops action with a Schweppes seltzer or Schweppes ginger ale or ginger alley, depending on how you want to pronounce it. Giants. Let's talk about the Giants. We talked a little bit about them during the CMT portion of the program, Rick. Brian Daboll speaking. RJ, we don't have that audio yet, do we?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Daboll, very secretive. He said, I'll tell you guys the secret, just don't want to share it with the rest of the world. So we'll find out if somebody is going to let the cat out of the bag there. We are both under the assumption, and John Mara kind of spoke about it yesterday as well, along with Joe Shane, that it seems, if you want to read the tea leaves, that they don't have any hesitation about turning in that card with a quarterback's name on it in the first round this year.
No, they don't. But in the same breath, I would say this is, and I said this to you yesterday, Joe Shane also said that there are very few people that actually have any idea what the Giants are thinking right now. And yet every story that we see coming out about the Giants is they love J.J. McCarthy. They're one of the teams that's rumored to be going up to, you know, trying to get up to the third pick to draft the quarterback. So, I mean, is this part of just lying season, part of the whole smokescreen? Like, do they want everyone to think that they're hell-bent on getting a quarterback so they can get Malik Nabers, whoever it ends up being, at 6?
This is like right out of the Adam Peters playbook, like with the smokescreens and everything.
Right. Well, this one makes sense, though. This is how they approach the whole Kayvon Thibodeau thing, isn't it?
Right.
So, I mean, if that's true and no one really knows, and yet we see all these reports, like, you're being fed information that they want you to know. So why would you want people to know that? Well, because we want Minnesota to trade up. We want people to go up. We want to make sure 4 quarterbacks go before us so we have the opportunity to get one of these wide receivers that we like.
Here's the advantage you have if you want to believe the Giants are taking a quarterback. You know it. I know it. He even knows it. Daniel Jones is done with them after this year. He's done. So they're going to need somebody to play the position. They're going to need a future answer at quarterback after 2024 at the earliest. So if you believe in one of these guys, you might as well take him in the first round, because I get it. If, let's say, you draft a wide receiver or a playmaker, not only is he going to be here for Daniel Jones's last year, which is fine, but what about next season as well? You know, it still is going to extend. It's still going to be okay. You know, you still have him under contract, but again, do you really want to tie up a wide receiver, for example, for the next X amount of years if you still have a big question mark as to who your quarterback is going to be? I don't think that that's conducive to good team building.
No, I don't think so either. Unless we're not, because we're not privy to these conversations, unless John Mara is hell-bent that we need to, that Daniel Jones is our guy, and we want to give him the opportunity to prove that to everyone.
He's not their guy, and they know that.
Dude, every time you hear John Mara speak, he makes excuses as to why it hasn't worked out.
Yeah, but it still doesn't mean that he's the guy.
No, I don't think he's the guy either. And I would be hard-pressed if I was Brian Daboll or Joe Shane to bet my livelihood on Daniel Jones.
But Woody Johnson was making excuses for Zach Wilson earlier, saying, you know, things didn't really work out for him and all this. I feel bad for him, but it's still, he's clearly not the guy.
Well, yeah, he's not the guy because they have Aaron Rodgers. They don't have, the Giants don't have a quarterback yet.
But the Jets went out and got a guy because they knew that Zach Wilson was not to be the guy.
Right, I understand that. But you're also in a spot, if you're the Giants, where you're at the mercy of whatever happens in front of you. because, you know, all these people that wanted to pretend like winning games last year was important when it wasn't. Oh, good organizations, they'll figure it out. It's all about winning now. Well, now you're stuck at six where three quarterbacks go 1-2-3, and Minnesota may just have more to give up than you want to give up to get up ahead of you to take the fourth one. So then what do you do?
All right, so you're telling me the four quarterbacks are off the board and you stood pat at six.
Well, yeah, because you couldn't get up, or the deal that the Minnesota Vikings wanted to make with Arizona was more favorable than your deal.
I brought it up yesterday, and I don't know. I'm not 1,000% confident that it's going to happen, but what if the Giants trade down a couple of spots, and then they're the ones that end up with Brock Bowers?
No, but that still doesn't solve the problem, though.
It doesn't solve the problem, but again, it gets you. What if they are in love with this guy? Remember, once upon a time, the Jets had a tight end already, and they still took Kyle Brady in the first round, in the top 10, no less. You know, if you have a guy who is that highly graded and Brock Bowers is probably the highest rated tight end prospect to come in the draft in a good number of years, everybody says. But then there is that danger. Like, I wouldn't do it. Me personally, I would not do it. You don't think the Falcons want a mulligan right now on the Kyle Pitts thing from a couple of seasons ago?
Probably, but I think we'll get a better opportunity to see what that looks like with an actual quarterback.
Yeah, but still. You know, that forced them to have to go out there and spend all that money to sign a Kirk Cousins, for example.
Right. Well, there's been plenty of those, though, too.
They also drafted a running back in the first round, too. Think about that. The Falcons, 2 years in a row, a tight end and a running back in the first round. Wow.
And a wide receiver, yeah.
Wow.
Well, they thought that they would have the three playmakers, and then they would hope that the quarterback would work out. But Desmond Ridder is clearly not the guy. So now they pay Kirk Cousins a boatload of money. But you're still not solving the problem here, though. Right, you just told me last hour, or whenever we were talking about this, that drafting a young quarterback buys Joe Shane and Brian Daboll more time. Drafting a tight end doesn't. So what do they do? How do they address the position? Is it Drew Lock?
No, but no, they have Daniel Jones for at least another year.
No, I'm saying, but you're not drafting if you draft Brock Bowers by moving down and you draft him, what are you doing at quarterback?
What if there is a possibility, because we've also spoken about this, that they are already so gung-ho on the quarterback crop for 25? Look, and not just, by the way, I've heard this thrown out there in league circles, that some people feel that this group, just because there's a lot of them, it doesn't mean that it's quality. It's like more quantity over quality. It doesn't mean that these quarterbacks are all going to be good. That there are some people who think that the quarterbacks next year might even be better. And there may not be as many of them that are taking the first round, but at least like the top of the heap, better than what you're getting top of the group this year. So maybe the Giants are a part of that camp and they say, hey, we'll just turn in the card next year with the quarterback because we like those guys better. See if we can piece together this season, win some games, much like they did a couple of years ago by shocking everybody making the playoffs.
Okay, but I mean, I would have to have already had a conversation with ownership knowing that I'm going to be here next year. Like, if this season doesn't go well, Daniel Jones doesn't play well, we win five games, will I still be here next year to make that pick? But can you guarantee me that? Because if you can't, then it's in my big, it's better for me to draft the quarterback now to at least have the, sell the fans the hope that we have our future quarterback for next season or whenever he happens to play this season.
Here is our buddy Mel Kiper Jr. on the first draft pod talking about the Giants and the decision at quarterback.
You're putting Daniel Jones in a rough spot going into this year without a go-to receiver. They haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver, Daniel, since 2018, right? At 6 years, they haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver. Giants last since Daniel Jones came into the league in explosive pass plays. They don't have that Malik Nabers, who's the most explosive receiver in this draft. You don't look at a Romo Dunze, steady, reliable, consistent. That's assuming Marvin Harrison Jr., who's outstanding, is gone. So you're going to pass on two elite receivers that you desperately need and have not had to take a guy who could be the heir apparent or challenge Daniel Jones.
I would have to know I was going to be around to make that pick next season. But again, you may be at the mercy of... Listen, I know in Dave is hell-bent on getting a quarterback. Doesn't want to reach for one, but is hell-bent on getting a quarterback because he doesn't believe in Daniel Jones.
I don't think any Giant fan does.
Right, but the more you read... Just going back again to what I said earlier, the way that Joe Shane conducts himself around this time of the year and how he did it with Kayvon Thibodeau, when no one, the reports were they didn't even like Kayvon Thibodeau, right? The meeting didn't go well. They end up drafting him with a fifth overall pick. What would make the most sense is that this is all a smokescreen, that they're not all in to get a quarterback. They want everyone to believe they're all in to get a quarterback, so they have the opportunity here at six now where four quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4 to get a better player at six or the player they want at six.
Let's just say, for argument's sake, they make a change. Because like you said, there's no guarantees and there's no assurances yet. If the Giants go ahead and bring in a new coach, I'll just let's start with the coach for 2025. That would be, Rick, the fourth different head coach this team has had in 7 years. How is that conducive to stability and to building a winner and to having consistency? Because you know what? They're going to look at the Giants from the outside as an organization that doesn't know what the hell they're doing. Because if you keep changing coaches every couple of years, you become like the Cleveland Browns were back in the day, and you're a laughingstock. And I think John Mara knows that, because you know what? John Mara probably knows that they've had way too many head coaches themselves before even possibly making another change. They've already had three different guys in the last 6 years.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, but listen to what you're saying, though. So if they don't, now what are you doing? Because you already saw how it worked out with Daniel Jones. New coaches, new offensive systems. It's not conducive to developing a young quarterback. So if they don't draft the quarterback this year, they have a bad season. They draft the quarterback next season, right? They draft the quarterback in next year's draft. That means that you're pretty much signing on to Brian Daboll and Joe Shane for at least the next 2-3 years if you want to develop the quarterback the right way. Right? Like, because you're not going to all of a sudden draft the quarterback, let them draft the quarterback, have another bad season, be like, okay, now we're going to get a new head coach because that's going to be good for the young quarterback.
Well, think about the Jets, for example, right? The Jets, when they took Sam Darnold in 2018, that was already Bowles' fourth year, and they were rebuilding, clearly rebuilding. Still took the quarterback, fired Bowles after 1 year with Darnold, and then they brought in Adam Gase.
Right, and then fired Mike Maccagnan after he went through the entire draft and free agency.
Correct.
Right.
And that's not exactly the way that you want to go about building a franchise, because we know that it did not work out. I just think you have to have at least some consistency. You know, you hired people for a reason. You hired guys that once upon a time, and we're only talking about 2 years ago, Rick, they made the playoffs. They showed that, you know what, they actually have an idea of what's going on. Last year, you knew it would be challenging. Schedule was a little bit more difficult. They had that murderer's row right out of the gate. They had injuries to start the season. And then the season was essentially over by the time you got to mid-October. Isn't this just a one-off? We see this from teams all the time.
Well, you hope so.
Right, that they maybe play a little bit above their heads that first season under new regime, and then they come back to the pack. But it doesn't mean that it's going to be a spectacular failure for the rest of the time that those guys are there.
No, I don't believe that's true either. But we're also not inside that locker room, right? Like, we weren't a part of all the dysfunction that was happening with the New York Giants last year, with Wink and Daboll. I mean, Kafka wanted to leave. Like, going back, I mean, some of the reports coming out now, I don't know how much of it's true and how much of it isn't, but... You know, like, not telling Mike Kafka, you know, that I'm taking the play calling away from you, then taking it away from him, giving it to the quarterback's coach, then back to Kafka, then he's taking it over. Like, so if they have a bad season, don't draft the quarterback, have a bad season, and you're hearing the same stuff come out of the locker room that no one wants to work with Brian Daboll. You're going to keep rolling with Brian Daboll?
But you know what, Rick? Did that team fall apart late in the season, or did they actually play hard?
No, they played hard.
They played hard.
Yeah, which
they
is didn't fine, fold. But okay, and you won meaningless games that now has you at 6.
But remember, you had the Tommy DeVito infusion. Okay, you won 3 in a row. Then they even lost games. Like that Rams game, what was that, on New Year's Eve? They could have easily won that game. Except right. Mason Crosby didn't have the leg for it.
They could have beat the Jets, too.
Could have easily beaten the Jets. So my point is that this team did not quit on Brian Daboll. And I think that's important. In a year that was clearly going nowhere, this team did not fold. So it's not like he lost the room, which I think is important whenever you're making an evaluation. Should we keep a guy on the job, even if you're not winning games?
No, but you're missing the point. I agree with you. I think Brian Daboll is a good coach. But you had the one playoff win, and you overachieved, which kind of fast-forwarded this process. Bad season, all things. I mean, between Andrew Thomas getting hurt, Saquon got hurt, Daniel Jones, okay, like all those things, there's plenty of reasons as to why the season didn't go well. And you're right, the team fought, which is great. But if you have another bad season, and then you draft a young quarterback, and you have another bad season, that's three straight bad seasons. Do they give him a fourth? And if you're drafting a quarterback, you've already seen it happen. It happens all the time. You can't draft the quarterback and then fire the coach that following year and have the kid, new head coach, new offensive system. So what I'm saying is, if you make that commitment to Brian Daboll, they don't draft the quarterback, and next year they do, you're going to have to keep him for another 2 years at least.
I don't know about that. I think you can maybe give him 1 year then with a rookie quarterback.
No, that would be a terrible idea.
Well, what if this
that
season
would ruin
though,
the
goes,
whole point?
What if this season? What if they're 4-13 this year?
Yeah, do they let him make a pick? That's what I'm saying. So yeah, like you want continuity for continuity's sake. You let him make the pick, and then he stink again.
Well, Joe Shane's going to be making the pick. So the question is then, would you be prepared if you're the Giants then to get rid of the head, make Dable the sacrificial lamb, and keep Joe Shane and allow him to hire another coach?
Well, that would be a question for the owner.
But or do you clean house?
I'm just saying, if they have another bad season and you hear all the same rumblings coming out of the locker room that Brian Dable's a pain in the ass to work with and no one wants to work with him, like, I don't know, do you start asking questions?
Yeah, but you played for coaches. Like, why does a coach have to be buddy-buddy with all the players? Like,
no, sometimes I'm not saying the players. I'm saying the coaches.
Oh, well, you know what? Here's a thing, okay? And I get it. There was a lot of headlines and everything that kind of fell out with that. But no other team gobbled up Wink Martindale, right? He's now coaching in college. And by the way, he's doing pretty good for himself. He's the highest paid assistant coach in college football. He's the right? He's the DC down in Michigan.
Yes, yes.
But no other team wanted him, so it's not like the Giants wronged Wink Martindale. Why did another team like stop what they were doing and bring him in?
Okay, yes, you're correct, and I agree with you. You can explain this away as, you know, Wink Martindale is also not easy to work for. Felt like he was the defensive guy. He had his whole coaching staff. They would do their thing. Brian Dable would do his offensive thing. Leave me alone. And no one jumped. So you can explain it away as, okay, we can put some of the blame, if not, you know, a lot of the blame on Wink. But I'm saying if it happens again.
If it happens again, then he got something.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So if they have a bad season, same stuff comes out of the locker room. No one wants to work for Brian Dable. He's a pain in the ass. I mean, and they have another bad season. I don't know. There was a lot of noise this season. And that was coming off a playoff win. There was a lot of noise as to whether or not he was a good coach. They followed up with another bad season. There's no way you can draft the quarterback and then fire the coach after one season with a new quarterback. You can't do that to the kid.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking a little Giants football. What should they do? What will they do? Come draft time, the quarterback position. Let's say hi to Mikey in Richwood, who is up next year on 98.7. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on? Good morning, guys. How you guys doing, man?
Awesome.
So pretty much, right here, pretty much as simple, man. You're not guaranteed to be in this position again, right? You're in reaching, you know, you're in distance of grabbing a quarterback. Daniel Jones got 2 injuries. ACL. He's a running quarterback. Let's be honest, the better running quarterback than he is passing. He had $23 million injury settlement, similar to, you know, Derek Carr that 1 year in the Raiders and what Russell Wilson last year. And you can't hit your wagon to that. Are you going to go 3 straight years without selecting a quarterback? You know?
Well, you can't reach for the quarterback. Mikey, the problem is you can't reach for the quarterback. So, I mean, if you're in a spot where quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, and you're not in love with the fourth choice, you can't just draft a quarterback to draft a quarterback.
Right. Reaching is worse than not even taking one at all.
No, absolutely. Reaching, of course. If you don't like the guy, you just flat out don't take him. But even John Mara said it last year. I mean, yesterday. He said this year is probably one of the best classes ever came out. I mean, listen, it's a tough situation, but you got to snip, you know, you got to snip Daniel Jones. The time is up. There's two Coach K's in Duke, from Duke, right? There's Mike Krzyzewski, and then there's Daniel Jones. Coach K as in Coach Killer. You can't let that happen again, man. I'll talk to you guys later.
I like that. I like that Coach K, the Coach Killer thing. Did you ever hear that one before, Rick?
I did not, no.
What do you think of it?
I don't love it.
You don't think it's true?
I
can't call Daniel Jones a coach killer. I think that's a little unfair.
Well, first of all, it's not Daniel Jones' fault that they drafted him the sixth overall pick.
Right, it's Dave Gettleman's fault.
Right, and then how they handled him, you know, offensive line hasn't been good enough.
Hasn't had a game-breaking receiver.
No, hasn't. New systems, new coaches. Like, they have done him no favors. That's part of my point in this whole thing, is that you would hope that they've learned from their mistakes. John Mara says it every time he has the opportunity, that we did not handle this the right way. Right? I mean, there wasn't enough, you know, continuity with the system, didn't have enough weapons, offensive line stinks. I'm just saying, like, this has the potential to kind of be a perfect storm where they don't get the quarterback. They're not very good. Offensive line still might not be fixed, which seems to be really upsetting John Mara that it's been this long. They've put, you know, how many assets and resources into trying to fix it, and it still haven't fixed it. So if they're not good, the offensive line stinks, and then on top of that, he's going to watch Saquon Barkley rip it up in Philly. I don't know.
And the reality,
it wouldn't reflect well because he says he doesn't want to tinker, which is fine, but he's involved in these decisions. They have to sell him the plan, and the plan was we don't feel the way the NFL is going that it is smart business to pay a safety and a running back top of the market money. Those are not important enough positions to pay that kind of money. So we'll move off Xavier McKinney, who it sounds like John Mara liked a lot, and why wouldn't he? He's 24 years old, didn't miss a snap. And they moved off of Saquon Barkley. They bring in Brian Burns. They're selling him their plan. And if their plan doesn't work, they don't win. And then on top of that, you hear stuff coming out of the locker room again that Brian Daboll's not easy to work with. I don't know. Do you run the risk of not being around to pick the quarterback?
All right, here's another risk. Let me throw this at you, because the way I'm looking at it right now, and one thing that we haven't even brought up either, I know I was not kidding around, but I was, you know, floating the possibility out there of a Brock Bowers selection by the Giants, for example. Darren Waller might retire. And what you heard is that he's got one foot out the door already.
Yep.
Okay, so that's another weapon. And look, I know he had a disappointing season last year. He was injured. You didn't really get the full Darren Waller experience. He might retire. Okay, so that's another guy you take off the board. Right now, you look at this set of skill position players, wide receivers, tight ends, whatever, for the Giants. It is not going to keep anybody up at night game planning to try to stop this team. So then here is another question I give you. I don't think you're going to be able to fill all of those needs as far as beefing up your wide receiver allotment in the draft. Okay, I think that there's only so much you can do. So if you want to draft a quarterback this year, what are the chances that he's even going to be successful? Isn't it the same thing with Daniel Jones? So now telling me...
No, because you have Daniel Jones and you have Drew Lock.
Right, you have that, but you don't have a lot of weapons to help them out. So if you brought in the rookie, at some point, let's say if they get thrown into the fire because it's like an Eli situation, you want to see what they can do, whether it's midseason or whatever. You don't have great weapons to work with. Then if they struggle, what type of damage are you doing to the player? So at least if you maybe wait until next year.
But you don't have to play him, and you're also giving this kid now you're giving yourself two full offseasons.
I get that, but remember, that's not a popular thing nowadays.
I don't care what's popular or not. Listen, it doesn't matter if it's popular or not. You have the ability to do it.
But the Giants, remember, 20 years ago, and I know it was a long time ago, but they were in no position to have to play Eli right away. They were winning games with Kurt Warner, but yet they sat him in the middle of the season to get him in there so he could get the experience. They might feel compelled to do it again.
Well, if Brian Daboll, which is part of the reason why you brought him in here in the first place, is what he did with Josh Allen, right? Like, he's worked with really good quarterbacks, that if he feels like he's ready to take on that challenge, then you can put him in. But there's no pressure to do that.
All I'm saying is, let's say the option is that they wait until next year to draft the quarterback. Maybe you then have this draft, next free agency, and then even next draft to be able to surround him with more capable playmakers than what you have on this roster right now to give him a chance to be successful.
Right, but right now you sit here with the sixth pick. Right, like you're at six. There's no, I mean, who knows what the pick's going to be next year, how much it's going to cost you to get up and get the quarterback that you want, how many of those picks that you're talking about it might cost you to get the quarterback that you want. At the end of the day with this whole thing is, if there's a quarterback that you've identified as the guy, and he's sitting there at 6 feet to take, or if there's a deal that could be made to move up to take the quarterback, then you got to trust that they know what they're doing. They can take the quarterback. If there isn't, and it was, you know, Drake May or bust, and Drake May's not available, you don't love J.J. McCarthy, then, yeah, you can trade down if you want. You can select Neighbors at six, which is a popular pick now with all these mock drafts coming out, is that they have, you know, take Neighbors at six and then answering that, you know, wide receiver question that they haven't had. I think you have to make a decision now as a fan. Do you trust Joe Shane and Brian Daboll or not?
You're going to have to. Right now, you have to. You got to jump in blind loyalty and hope that it works out. And apart from the offensive discussions, you know what else needs to hit, Rick? Brian Burns needs to freaking hit.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, I thought it was fantastic that the Giants were armed with some nice ammo, that they had once upon a time three of the top 47 picks in this draft. And that should have been three day one starters, right? And now one of those second rounders is gone because you used it in the Brian Burns trade. So you gave up a premium pick. You paid this guy an arm and a leg. Brian Burns, even maybe more than a quarterback, might go down as defining the Shane administration.
Well, I think it's pretty clear what they're trying to do, though, right? I mean, they didn't pay Saquon. They didn't pay Xavier McKinney. They took care of...
Right, premium positions. I get it. It makes sense.
Right, and they're also trying to get the best out of the fifth overall pick, too.
But if Brian Burns turns into, let's say, you know, another Vernon Golston with the Giants.
Oh, you're done.
You're done.
Yep.
That you cannot recover from because it cost you premium draft capital and you paid him a hell of a lot of money. More money than probably the Carolina Panthers were even willing to pay. And they had this guy in their building for how many years?
Yeah, I wouldn't use what the Carolina Panthers do as any...
Why? The owner throws drinks at fans. That's not commendable?
They stink. That organization is a complete disaster right now.
It's interesting you say that. Thursday on SNY, it's Mets Brewers on opening day, weather permitting. Tune into the best booth in baseball with Gary, Keith, and Ron on the call. Coverage begins Thursday at 11:30 a.m. on SNY, weather permitting. 800-919-3776. More Giant conversation. We'll get into the Ohtani stuff as well. Jordan Renan is going to join us at 9:30. It's Dan and Rick, DNR, 98.7 ESPN. London Jewelers is hosting their annual wedding band event from Thursday, April the 4th through Sunday, April the 7th. All wedding bands are 20% off. Brand exclusions may apply. The Dubai London Wedding Band Collection has something for every style and budget. Come in or call for an appointment at any of their locations. Americana Manhasset, Wheatley Plaza, Glen Cove, East Hampton, Southampton, Westfield World Trade Center, and the mall at Short Hills, where you can enter for a chance to win an all-inclusive 5-day, 4-night honeymoon for two at any Sandals Resort. The best deals are at London Jewelers from April 4th through the 7th.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Yesterday at this time, remember when Robert Saleh spoke, we had all the sound, all the audio, everything. It was very transparent. For some reason, you would think it's like government secrets that Brian Daboll was sharing down there at the coach's breakfast, because there is not an ounce of audio, video, or anything. There's some still photographs, like it's 1912, of him at the breakfast, but there was no audio, or else we'd be sharing it with you. It's not like we're withholding it, Rick.
Well, you don't have the same kind of Giants associates that you do with the Jets. I mean, you're in the inner...
Well, it's not just me. What more can I
Jets
do?
Jets circle.
I mean, I'm talking about like the worldwide internet. You know, like they put the stuff out
Brian
there.
Well, maybe Brian Daboll's like, hey, maybe he's a big breakfast guy. He's like, I choose not to be.
Well, who isn't a big breakfast bothered? Guy? We love breakfast.
Well, there's a lot of people that don't even eat breakfast.
I'm starving now.
I love breakfast. I'd say brunch is probably my favorite of the meals.
Do you tend to skew more on the breakfast side or the lunch side?
Breakfast. Yeah, I'm more of a breakfast brunch guy.
Is there a cutoff for you time-wise as far as maybe when you make that transition?
No, probably not. Probably not. I'm still probably going breakfast-ish.
Yeah, RJ, when we went out, was that when RJ was sick, right, Ray? He wasn't feeling well. He wasn't with us the last time?
That may have been it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm glad he's doing better, by the way.
RJ's a big pancake guy. Loves the pancakes.
I love pancakes. But we all had breakfast. That's the point I was getting at. It was, you know, on that brunch sort of timetable.
Tom Bauer was there.
Tom Bauer was there. He didn't say a word.
That's right. The beauty of the brunch is that you don't feel so bad having a cocktail.
Oh, that right. And Dave got on me about tip because Dave didn't think the service was very good.
I over-tipped. That as well. I get that.
Yeah.
Dave's not an over-tipper.
No.
Like he, certainly not.
He basically, did you hear this story or no?
No.
So, like, Dave and I split the bill.
Okay.
So, they give us those little machines, you put the credit card in or whatever, and then, like, on the screen, you write the tip, so, like, you could see it. And so, Dave is sitting right next to me, and then I can't remember what I gave, I can't remember what it cost or whatever, but it was, you know, I gave a generous tip. And then Dave looks at me as I give it back, like, with serious, like, this serious stare, like he's, like, you know, scolding a child almost. And he's like, I really think that you over-tipped. I didn't think the service was very good at all.
Was this the breakfast when he didn't get his coffee?
Yes, when they put the coffee in front of the wrong person. Yes, that was the one. And you actually called him during the breakfast.
Oh, okay. That's the breakfast, yeah. And he thought I was trying to, like, to steal the show for some reason?
Basically, right. You were too good to come to the breakfast, first of all, and so you had to call because you had the FOMO.
All right, okay. Bye-bye.
But by the way, RJ, I'm not sure if you're seeing this. So we got the Mike Tannenbaum mock draft coming out. Have you seen this yet?
Have you checked your email?
No. I have checked my email. I've seen it. I'm asking everyone else if they've actually got a chance to go through it.
Yeah, some of it got me angry.
Okay, so what I didn't notice when first glancing through it was that I saw he had J.J. McCarthy going fourth. What I didn't realize was it wasn't going fourth because the Minnesota Vikings traded up to take the fourth pick. He has Arizona selecting J.J. McCarthy and then trading Kyler Murray to the Vikings.
Really?
Yeah.
That's really?
Yes.
Now that would be saucy.
So as a disclaimer, Mike does say that he's putting himself in the GM chair for each team. This is not like what he's hearing or what he expects them to do. This is what he would like to see each team do based on the construct of the team currently.
All right, that adds a little context.
So he thinks Kyler Murray stinks.
Right. That's what he's saying, especially when you're talking about the amount of dead money they would have to eat.
Or battles injuries, depending how you want to look at it.
Do we still have an opinion on Kyler Murray all these years later? Because for the life of me, I still can't sit here definitively one way or the other and think that he's the answer.
He wanted to play baseball.
He wanted to play. He was a top 10 pick. I did the draft show, for crying out loud, the day he was drafted.
Also Call of Duty, yes.
Also Call of Duty. Yeah.
What is interesting, though, because Mike puts himself in Joe Shane's seat at 6, and Neighbors and Harrison Jr. are still both on the board, and Tannenbaum, in his Tannen mock, former GM in the league, evaluates Neighbors as a better talent, which is interesting.
More of a home run threat. Points to his yards per reception, and then he had the career-high 14 touchdowns last season.
But you know something? Even with these, like, we always use the quarterbacks as the example. Like, they got to go to the right situation, right team, system, talent, coaching. Same thing applies to the wide receivers. Like, if you have an offense, like, look at Garrett Wilson. Like, Garrett Wilson, somehow, some way, because he's a great player, managed to get 1,000 yards. And he's had 15 different quarterbacks over the last 2 years. But think about the numbers that Garrett Wilson would be putting up if he was in a offense where you had less turnover, stability at the quarterback position, other guys on that offense to take maybe some of the attention away from him. You know what I mean?
To get a first down would be nice once in a while.
How about that?
Sustain a drive, score in the red zone.
Keep going.
You can see the frustration from him, though.
Of course.
He knows that. I mean, he knows what he's capable of doing and how this, you know, the quarterback, you know, quarterback position and probably even the offensive coordinator holding that back. That's the thing, man. I mean, that Nathaniel Hackett. What did he say last year, too, that really got me angry? Oh, I was kind of caught off guard and surprised with how well Breece Hall catches the football. What?
Oh, that's right. It was in the middle of the season, basically.
In the middle of the season?
Yeah.
That surprises you now?
That wasn't a good look.
No, not a good look at all. Think about that draft, though. What you just said, though. Think about that draft.
Yeah.
You got Sauce wins defensive player, rookie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had two guys. If Breece Hall didn't get hurt, he was probably going to win offensive rookie of the year, and you still had Garrett Wilson win it.
Correct.
That is...
Jermaine Johnson.
And yeah, Jermaine Johnson, too. What a draft that was.
And that's the thing also, like, with those guys, remember, after next year, the first rounders, they're all eligible to get extended.
Yeah, that's why I felt like they were less likely to go out and make a deal for T. Higgins or
right.
Ayuk.
Well, they got to save some of that money.
Right.
Like, so everybody that was part of the camp of, give Bryce Huff whatever the hell he wants for a guy playing 40% of the snaps. Well, no, they're thinking about this down the road. They have to keep the guys that they have. The four guys that you just mentioned are more valuable to them than Bryce Huff is.
Right. Bryce Huff's more of the finisher, doesn't play every down.
Right.
And that's why you would bring in, that's in theory why you would bring in Clowney to fill
right.
that spot.
And that's why, a team like Philadelphia, who had more of a need as far as pass rush is concerned, Fletcher Cox retiring, among other things, that's why they paid him a little bit more than the Jets were willing to go. Now, I don't know if they're going to use him as an every down player, but I guess it's up to them.
Yeah, it's just tough, though, it's hard, and Giants fans are going through the same thing. When you hit on a player like Bryce Huff, you bring an undrafted player in, develop him, and he turns into that. Those are players that you'd like to keep. But I understand what you're saying.
So I think that it's fair, though, as we get closer to the draft, and even I can imagine like the time leading up, draft day, all those things. The Giants, barring no moves being made between now and then, the Giants are still going to be, I think, the saucier conversation more so than the Jets about what they do round one. Because you have a potential quarterback at stake. Jets are not going to take a quarterback in the first round.
No, the Jets, they better not take a quarterback in the first round. No, they absolutely can't do that.
And let's face it, the Giants need more.
Giants are rebuilding, man.
Right.
Jets are trying to win a Super Bowl.
Isn't it amazing? In theory, you're correct with what you're saying, but Jets are trying to win a Super Bowl for a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 13 years.
I understand.
It's like walk before you can run. You're going from no playoffs for 13 years right to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's where they're at. Right? But, just look at the talent, though.
No, you're right. Because they thought that they were going to be there last year if the quarterback didn't get hurt and everybody else all around them.
You remember what the impetus for this whole thing was in the first place, though, was that they've done such a good job of accumulating talent, especially on the defensive side of the ball, that how can we... We can't afford to waste all that talent on this defense as good as it is. We can't afford to waste that because we're not willing to go find the quarterback. You heard Sal talk about it in Hard Knocks. He's like, we got an elite defense and our offense stinks.
Yep.
And that's supposed to all be different with Aaron Rodgers. And unfortunately, we only got four freaking plays of it.
Oh, they were great plays, though. Four
and
of them.
And then we're like, the season's over, guys. Season's over. I'm just going to go sit in my office and look at pictures of Aaron and what it could be. And then and text radio hosts with the records of other coaches with their backup quarterbacks.
What happens if they would have lost that game 31-3? Do you think that they would have been more willing to act as far as getting another quarterback?
I think they were absolutely paralyzed by losing Aaron.
Oh, I know they were. But I'm just saying and yet the oddity is they still won that game. And that was the widest, greatest range of emotions I've ever experienced at a stadium in my life. The ups, the downs, the all arounds.
I think at the end of the day, I hate when I say that, but I think when push came to shove, I think the owner wanted it desperately to work out with Zach Wilson. I think he was one of the reasons why they drafted Zach Wilson, and he wanted to work. He wanted it to work out, and this was an opportunity now, once and for all, to figure out if he could do it and prove to him he can or prove to him he can't so they could be comfortable moving off of him. And that's what they chose to do.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.